I went down to the vigil on Tuesday, the 26th of May, outside the Melbourne Town Hall for people who have died in the street, homeless people, not just general public, but the homeless people who have died alone in the parks and streets of this fair state. And it was preceding the Melbourne City Council's meeting to further their community protection officers program and to double the amount of fellows who are going to be employed to move people on from 11 to 22. Anyway, I collected some material about that event if you weren't able to turn up so that we can register what's going on and in our name. We're outside the town hall on the 26th of May, Tuesday, at the vigil for those who have died living on the streets. I'm from 3CR. Do you want to tell me why you came today?
I read about this. Oh, I saw the notice in Green Left Weekly and I just wanted to pay attention. Who knows? It might be me one day. Soon.
Everybody here tonight on a cold, getting cold, nearly winter's night. First of all, of course, I'd like to acknowledge that we're on the stolen land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we pay our respect to their elders past and present. Tonight, it's only going to be a short one because we have to go into the council meeting. It is a sombre occasion because we're here to remember the people that have died while homeless on our streets. As we know, winter's coming and things are only going to get worse. And even walking up here, I stopped and spoke to a couple of homeless people and it's just heartbreaking to see them there. Now, we're going to have two speakers tonight and we're also going to have a minute's silence and then we will go inside, those of us that are going, to attend the meeting where the council's voting on whether or not to double their number of so-called safety officers. We hope they don't. We'd love to see the money spent elsewhere, but I don't think that's going to happen. Anyway, I'd like to invite the first speaker. I'd like to invite Kelly.
Thanks everybody for being here. We really appreciate it. You not going home if you're working, coming straight from work or whatever you've been doing this afternoon, we really appreciate you being here. So tonight the City of Melbourne is voting on whether to double the size of the Community Safety Officer Program from 11 officers to 22 at a total cost of $3.75 million. We've been campaigning for 45 days straight on why this shouldn't happen. So we want to provide you with a short update. 2 weeks ago, the council here released the six-month update of the CSO program. It's meant to be an evaluation of the program, but it's the council's own report card on how the CSO program is going. It's the council reporting on itself. The report has some real problems as far as we're concerned at the Homeless Persons Union. It doesn't say how the program is affecting people experiencing homelessness. This is despite the council claiming that people who are homeless make up a big chunk of who these officers are interacting with. By the council's own figures, nearly one in six of all the interactions officers had were about begging, drinking in public, or sitting or sleeping in the wrong place. Those are exactly the kinds of things that affect people who don't have a home to go to. The report says that feedback from people experiencing homelessness helped shape the program. At the last council meeting here, the manager of this program was asked very directly whether people experiencing homelessness had been spoken to. He admitted they had not. They spoke to support agencies, many who are funded by the City of Melbourne itself, but not to people experiencing homelessness. So when the report says it heard from people with lived experience, that's not actually what happened. The report also doesn't properly address the most serious thing that came out in The Age on April 11th, which kicked off our whole campaign. Joel Owen, a former CSO, told the paper that CSOs had been instructed not to be afraid to use force when telling people to move on, including people who were begging or sleeping against buildings. He also said officers were told not to leave an area until people had moved. So they basically just stand around hovering over people until they move. The council's response is that officers only use force when it's legally required during an arrest. So they also carry handcuffs and can make citizens' arrests. At the last council meeting here, the manager again was asked which laws actually require CSOs to use force. He couldn't name a single one. He said he'd have to go back and look at the training. Let's think about what that means. The person in charge of the CSO program asked in public to explain in which situations officers can use force on members of the community couldn't do it. CSOs are out on the streets right now using force. The senior manager responsible can't tell you which law allows it. If he can't explain it, the officers themselves sure as hell can't either. Lastly, we want to say something about transparency, about the council being clear with the people of Melbourne. The council here is legally required to act compatibly with the Charter of Human Rights and Responsibilities Act. This is a Victorian law that says when public authorities make decisions, they have to think about how those decisions affect people's human rights. And if a decision takes someone's human rights away, they have to explain why that's justified. But the council still hasn't published a complete human rights assessment of the CSO program. The one that's public is unfinished, with key sections left blank. At the last council meeting, once again, the manager admitted it wasn't finished and promised a complete version would be put on the City of Melbourne's website. That was almost 2 weeks ago. It still hasn't been published. So what this all means is that tonight, councillors are being asked to double the CSO program at a cost of $3.75 million before the council has published the human rights review it promised. The Homeless Persons Union is asking the City of Melbourne to publish that review, to get an independent evaluation of the program, to properly investigate the use of force allegations, and explain the legal basis and the program's guidance on the use of force. And most importantly, to actually consult with people with lived and living experience of homelessness. Thanks for your support over the last 45 days. Thank you. And here's Spike to kick off the vigil proper. Thanks, Spike.
So hi. Thank you so much for coming out for three main reasons. One, to show these guys, just to register our protest at such a ridiculous program and the funding and such a waste of money that could have gone to provide support services for people that are sleeping rough or people that are homeless. Secondly, to stop for a moment and to remember. So the Guardian reported a couple of weeks ago that 15 people a year are found in our parks and countryside dead, passed away. The Australian Institute of Health and Welfare says that's an underestimation, up to 9 people a day who've used a specialist homeless service pass away from a preventable illness, suicide or overdose. That means the $4 million that is spent on security officers could be spent on quarry workers, AAD workers, support workers, for people that are sleeping rough or for people that are homeless. The effect of their program pushes people out of the CBD to where they can't be seen, they can't be heard, and to where they experience their lives alone. So can we just stop for a minute to remember those people and just stand in solidarity with them? Thank you so much. Just this last thing, just remember, guys, it's not over. The fact that these guys have passed this budget and passed that proposal, we are going to follow up. We're going to support people who've been moved on, had their belongings confiscated and been intimidated. We're going to follow up every complaint and make sure that these guys are held to account for these human rights abuses. Thank you so much for turning up. Does anyone else want to say something?
All right, everyone, so for those who don't know, I'm Mitch, and this is my husband, Jojo. We've been out in the street since Christmas last year. We had a place out in Melton, and the landlord put a fake eviction notice on our door and sold all our stuff. We had $4,500 worth of stuff at the house, and she called the garbage company, and they come and took it all, and some of that was JJ's mum's sentimental stuff, who's passed away now, so couldn't get that back. And some people turn around and said, oh, you can get that back, but you can't. So we're one of the strongest gay marriage couple in Melbourne to actually, like, recently we could have, like, separated and stuff all through this, but we haven't. Yay! We're stuck through this, like, and that's what people should do. Like, we should rally together and the services and everything, they're doing an amazing job, but I know it's not enough, but, like, well, the police shouldn't be moving people along, and, yeah, so we just all need to stick together and be one big happy family.
We might have to go in now and witness the councillors doing their thing, unfortunately, but we'll keep the mic open. Lainey, would you like to stay here and please just mingle and be here for as long as you like? And thank you all for coming.
What just went down? Tell people.
Council just voted to pass the draft budget, which included doubling the CSO for us. They're going to spend $3.75 million on a program that's not been evaluated properly, has been time and time again told by community that it's going to be ineffective and actually make the situation worse. Council refuses to listen, but we will persist.
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely hilarious that, like, the mayor continues to yap on about how, like, democratic he thinks Melbourne City Council actually is, when this entire process could not have been more devoid of, like, reciprocity to what people actually care about and what they're actually saying. Like, Melbourne City Council have shown at every opportunity that they, like, it disrespect doesn't quite do their behaviour, like, justice. Like, it's way worse than that. They just do not care what people actually think. Yeah, and, like, I just find it the height of irony that, yeah, the mayor continues. He truly believes it too, that, like, Melbourne City Council is a democratic institution when it couldn't be anything further from that. Yeah.
Democracy is not about just formal process, it's about people and centering people in that, listening to people. You can point to a million policies and say, look at what we've done, but if the substantive outcome isn't reflecting what the people are telling you, then that's not democracy.
Yeah. And as long as ego remains the center of the Melbourne City Council, this will never change, honestly.